Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in, guys, to Gramlich and McLean. What an insane weekend of ACC football. Oh my gosh. It's putting the, in our ACC that we do later on in the week, this is putting the craziness in the league. This was just chaos, but it was so much fun. It was such a fun weekend of ACC football, and we're so glad that you guys are tuning in. Don't forget to help us out and rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you subscribe, it'll automatically fill into your feed, so you won't have to go and do the extra steps of going to download it. So, and we appreciate any ratings or reviews. Some of you guys have given us some reviews and we're so appreciative of those. But oh my gosh, we got to jump right into some of these games, Mac. But first, we've got
Can I tell the people a little breaking news here?
Yes, a little teaser for the people.
Guys, on Wednesday's episode, not that we're not excited about today because it's going to be a lot of fun, but Wednesday's episode, we're going to have our first ever guest, one of our colleagues, our friends, at ESPN, Mike Golic Jr. You're not going to want to miss it. He's amazing. He's funny, insightful. It's going to be so much fun. We can't wait for that episode.
We are pumped. And he's a new member of the ACC family, at least for this year in football. But every other sport, you know, people forget sometimes Notre Dame is in this league full blow in every other sport except for football. And trust me, there are on the women's basketball side, no one forgets that Notre Dame's in that league because they've been so dang good. Mac, you had a crazy stat for us before we jump into some of these games, and you pointed this out to me. I didn't realize this, but give me your crazy stat that we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, how about this? All the home teams won in an era where there's no fans or very limited fans. There's no home field advantage. They all won outside of course, you know, Clemson, number one team in the country. They traveled to Atlanta, handled business, and then powerhouse Liberty, the Liberty Flames. I mean, they, of course, a road win. But outside of those two teams, I mean, you talk about we had 7-8 games and all the home teams. It was wild to see that. I was just kind of checking these boxes. I was like, wow, that's something you don't really, you know, expect to see in this type of environment. But surely enough, you know, that's where we were.
And it's really interesting, too, because some of these teams did have at least a certain amount of home field. Watching North Carolina, Florida State fans showed up. And they were loud.
Yeah.
But then you look at Virginia Tech and they didn't have any fans. So it's odd to see some games. I really felt like there was a home field. I want to shout out Florida State fans, and we're going to get to FSU. We're going to talk about them a lot at the end of the podcast because what a win. And those fans deserve it, especially the ones that were in that stadium because they were loud and they brought it. They helped their team win. So that's kind of the one home field advantage looking back on the weekend that I thought was pretty palpable.
Yeah, they were big time, and it was so fun just to watch that game and to not have normalcy because, again, you see Doak Campbell not rocking at night against the number 5 team in the country. But just, you know, again, the energy that they brought, so huge kudos to those guys. You know, great job following the rules and doing the things in place where hopefully we start seeing that more and more across the country if we can do it safely.
Yeah, because they helped their team. I don't think FSU wins that game if it's in Chapel Hill, but shout out to Florida State. Let's get into our big three games that we talked about on Friday, and we're going to talk about some of these results. Let's start with number one Clemson at Georgia Tech. This was, look, you and I have both been pretty high on Georgia Tech, and we talked about them last week. They beat Louisville. If you're a Georgia Tech fan, that's what you need to focus on. You need to literally take this tape.
Don't even
burn
it. Don't even watch it.
Go throw it in a dumpster at Waffle House and get it out because you don't need to be watching this. It's not good for your health. Trevor Lawrence, though, was ridiculous. 5 touchdown passes in a half of football. We talked so much about ETN kind of cementing. I thought he was number one in the Heisman race going into the game because of Miami. Did anything change for you with Trevor's performance?
Yeah, I mean, for starters, it's a quarterback award, right? So it's if he did half of what he did, it's like, oh, yep, he's back. He's number one. So I think that just this type of game, I mean, career high passing yards, 404 in the 404. I thought that was hilarious. But just the way it was, just the way he played, you know, letting things come to him. Obviously, we've said that week to week. Had the one, you know, bad interception where you know, he was just rushed trying to make a play. The corner did a great job of jamming his wide receiver at the line. So I thought that was a spectacular play where, you know, it was a little bit silly.
Did you think the wide receiver, I think it was Cornell Powell, did he kind of give up on the play because he might have thought Trevor Lawrence was getting sacked? Did you notice that?
Well, I think that was because he got jammed in the chest and he's like, there's no way I'm getting this ball. So he did, it looked like, you know, kind of slowed back. And of course that led to a great pick, which, you know, all the momentum in the world for Georgia Tech. And then it got shut down so quick. But to go back to your first thing about not watching this tape, I think that what we're starting to see is there's like these Clemson rules. Like, we can't judge teams when they play Clemson because they're just so far and away better. Like, last week, Miami, I mean, we're not going to sit here and say they're a horrible team. We're just going to say Clemson is that good. And that's where we are. I mean, they scored 35 points, Kelly, in the second quarter. I mean, it was an explosion. And really just getting guys involved, they had 17 wide receivers catch a ball. And so that's just – that's mind-blowing to me to see this production defensively. I mean, outside of a great post route that really, you know, Jeff Sims threw on a dime, you know, they couldn't do anything. There was no production at all. And so, you know, you've got to be feeling good. Clemson defense stepping up huge. The one knock, and it's not even – I don't know. It's not even really a knock, but the second and third teams from Clemson just need to step up a little bit more. I know Coach Sweeney really takes pride in that and seeing those guys. So that's really what, you know, just that attention to detail when you get your opportunity, you know, make the most of it type deal. And, you know, those guys will continue to get better.
Yeah. I think, you know, Pumachan was a little disappointing if you're a Clemson fan, but I think most Clemson fans assume that DJU is going to be that next guy. He had some shoulder tightness. He didn't play. Will Spire's getting some snaps at quarterback.
Good to know that we have, you know, five solid quarterbacks on the roster. You know, a 6'5 punter slinging it all around. You know, had more passing yards in the second half than Georgia Tech did. Whatever.
But again, Georgia Tech, look, we're moving forward at Boston College next Saturday, then Notre Dame. It's kind of tough. And then a bye week. But you've got to look forward. And I think Jeff Collins does have a little bit of a challenge in front of him to somehow get these guys mentally to forget about that, because it is tough. You were on national television and this happened to you. And I think Jeff Collins has his work cut out for him this week.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, again, having such young superstars, I mean, Sims, Gibbs, I mean, because your core is so young, maybe it's a little bit easier to forget and just say, hey guys, don't worry about that one. Let's keep going. But knowing that those two guys are really your foundation, you had great production from your, you know, wide receivers, or you have, you know, Jalen Camp. It's so good to see a senior, you know, finally being in this type of offense where he can be utilized as a true wide receiver. So I think that backfield that you have, you've got to be feeling good. And the future is very bright for Georgia Tech.
It is. Let's move on to Pittsburgh at number 13, Miami. We get the breaking news. You were on the huddle, Mac. When we saw the breaking news that Kenny Pickett did not travel, you said that Pittsburgh, in order to beat Miami, Kenny Pickett needed a new ankle.
Right.
Well, newsflash, he did not get that new ankle. When did you actually find out about Pickett? And do you know anything about the severity of what Pickett is dealing with right now?
Yeah, so we found out really early that morning. And they, you know, they just asked us to wait, obviously, until closer to the game to talk about it. But no, we don't know severity-wise. You know, and I feel like if it was super serious, they would have came out and said that. You know, I don't think the head coach would have said, yeah, we're thinking he's going to play. Like, that would be kind of silly to me. So I hope that he'll be back. I mean, he's such a great competitor. Is such a gritty guy. I'm sure he begged and pleaded, you know, to
you
go
know
and play this game. Yeah. Had to have, and unless he literally couldn't walk. I know that he was fighting as hard as he could to be in that game. And really it's about what, you know, we thought would happen. I mean, Yellen actually performed maybe a little bit higher expectation-wise than I thought. Maybe that's a little bit of the system. You know, he threw the ball 46 times. You've got to have some type of success when you do that. And really just having a career day from your best wide receiver, Jordan Addison, that always helps. I mean, he is such a special freshman. You know, was averaging 18, 19 yards a catch. Just a really freaky dude, very explosive, and runs really, really good routes. So I think if you're Pittsburgh, you're in such a weird funk right now, starting 3-0, ranked in the country, and now you lose three conference games in a row. And really, just by the skin of your teeth up until this point, you know, with Miami, where they just kind of outmatched you. But defensively, I mean, you had four sacks, 15 15 tackles for a loss. Like, that is so many times you're in that backfield.
I was impressed with that defense. You know, the offense didn't help him at Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh, we always talk about their physicality. I was kind of impressed with their speed on the outside. I felt like they were able to keep up with Miami. Now, Miami was missing Brevin Jordan, which, of course, is a huge loss for them. But I still thought on the Miami side, they looked a little sluggish, and maybe that's just a little hangover, you know, from the Clemson loss and whatnot. But for Miami, a win is a win. That's the most important thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to go back to the Pittsburgh speed, I mean, outside of, you know, like three – I don't know if you call them trick plays, great plays, you know, where dudes are just wide open running down the field. I mean, you played really, really well. So, and then Miami, I think you're right. It was a little bit sluggish. I mean, there was one point where, you know, King was like 1 for 9 and it just didn't look good. People weren't on the same page. And then of course you hit a couple of, you know, wide open passes, which is great. And he finished the game with 6 completions. So that really helped his percentage. I think he finished around 52, 54, but you know, 4 touchdowns is such a, like, you look at the stats and it doesn't equal what you saw in the game type of thing. 4 touchdowns, that's great, but I just didn't feel good watching that game. 2 picks. So now he's having a bunch of turnovers in a row. Again, he's still a fantastic player leadership-wise. I think it was great to see. But I think just we need to see a little bit more from Miami, and maybe that Clemson game, you know, just set them back just a little bit.
Can't let it beat you twice, and they didn't. That's what's different. Getting Jordan back, that's going to help Derek King. But, you know, I'm with you on that, Mac. And I'm starting to think that this is going to sound negative, but I'm starting to think that his size is holding him back a little bit, just because he's so quick. He's so quick in space. But because he's one of the smaller guys we've seen play quarterback in the ACC, sometimes I just feel like he doesn't have the vision he needs to make certain plays.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I mean, their offensive line has really been exposed 2 weeks in a row. I mean, people were raving, saying these guys are so much better. And, you know, going back and forth with some people on Twitter, I was like, let's pump the brakes until we see them actually play a defensive line with a, you know, a pulse. And now 2 weeks in a row, I mean, you have double-digit tackles for loss, 4 or 5 sacks, 2 games in a row, so 10 sacks in 2 games. You know, that's about what I expected. So I knew that King was – good enough to hide some of those flaws. But again, when you face the two defensive lines and defenses like you did in Pitt, Clemson, you know, it gets exposed really quickly.
Miami has Virginia next, then a bye week, then NC State. We're going to talk about NC State injuries might make that game less close. But then they have Virginia Tech on November 14th. I think that's going to be a really big challenge for Miami. They also have North Carolina later in the year. Our third game of our big three, Boston College traveled to number 23, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech ran away with this one 40-14. I will say that I did not expect this. I thought BC was going to cover, but I thought Virginia Tech was going to win. Virginia Tech ran all over BC. And at some point, look, I like Phil Jurkovec. He's super talented, but when you can't run the ball, you can't control the game. And that was Boston College's problem.
100%. And it was so funny on the huddle. You know, we talked about, can BC stop this running attack? They've got a really good defense, great linebackers. You and I talked about it. 2 great linebackers there stepping up. And that answer was, heck no. Hendon Hooker, quarterback. Man, I love Hendon Hooker. Can we take a second to just appreciate his greatness? I mean, 11 of 15, 100-plus yards passing and a touchdown. 18 rushes for 164 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, this dude is freaky. And it was like painful for the staff to play him. The press conference was so weird. I would just love to sit down with those guys and be like, what's the deal? Like, what's going on? Why do we not want this guy to be our starter? Why is there such a hesitation? And again, if it was injury, if you're like sad that like Manny could be hurt and I have to play him, like I get that. But if it's anything else, I just don't get it. I'm so confused because he had such a great element to your offense and really just – it's just special. Like, I know he balled out and was your leading rusher, but he's a much better passer than anybody you have on your roster, and that allows everything just really to open up. So, I mean, that rushing attack was unbelievable to see what these guys were able – everybody in the stadium knew what was about to happen, and they couldn't stop it. They just couldn't stop it.
Okay, I want to talk about Virginia Tech for a second because we know they lost to North Carolina, and we talked about that game. They very winnable. I'm not saying they would have or could have won it if Hendon Hooker had played all four quarters, but
no, they would have.
That's sure. Okay. So you're saying that.
I'm confident in that right now.
Look, I like that. So we talk about Notre Dame. We talk about North Carolina at the top. Of course, North Carolina lost. I'm starting to think Virginia Tech, they need to be in that top three discussion. And if you look at the rest of their schedule, it's pretty manageable. They do have Miami and Clemson at the end. Clemson, we'll see that the game's going to be in Lane Stadium. Miami is looking a little more winnable. But when you combine this rushing attack with Hendon Hooker, healthy, playing with confidence, they're going to be very tough to beat.
Yeah, 100%. And they're third in my power rankings this week, in my ACC power rankings. That's nice. That's how well they're playing. And again, I totally think that if Hendon was playing, they beat UNC. And I would have picked them if he was the full-time guy. So I think you're right. The only interesting thing with, playing a Clemson, playing a Pitt, playing a Miami, they're going to shut down the run. Like that, they're going to do that. And so then it becomes –
Can you shut down Virginia Tech's rushing attack? Like, shut it down? Or you're saying, hold Khalil Herbert to, like, 90 or 100 right, yards. Is that what you mean?
I think Clemson can shut it down. I think, you know, they're averaging, like, 300-plus. You know, I think Clemson holds that to half. And so it's like, what can you do when that happens? Because right now they haven't had to throw the ball. And again, I think Hendon can do that. We haven't seen it. We haven't seen him forced to do it. But just based on last year and, again, knowing how good he is, I think he can. But you haven't had to yet. You could run the ball and dominate. When you're behind, when you're facing adversity, obviously running the ball does not help the cause. It ticks the clock. It eats the clock. And if you're in a situation where you need points quickly, you know, what does that look like? I'm very confident in their offensive line. I think they have one of the best, if not the best, in the ACC. Those guys are moving people. I mean, going from A to B against your will, moving people. And it's been so fun to watch. And, of course, you know, Herbert is just such a special player. So it's going to be interesting to see when they run into an elite defense, you know, what are they able to do and what do they look like?
I'm excited to watch Virginia Tech for the rest of this season. And you bring up good defenses. They have a three-game stretch. There's a bye week in there, but they play Miami on November 14th, Pittsburgh on November 21st, bye week, and then Clemson. Yeah, so that's going to be a big test.
Unbelievably tough.
That's going to make
your
season.
We'll find out. I mean, that's – you want to get in the playoff? You want to get in the ACC championship? There it is. There's your pre-playoff right there.
Yeah, for sure. That's where, if I'm a Virginia Tech fan, I am so bummed that this is not a real season. It is a real season. That's the wrong word. I mean real home field. Because get to host Clemson on December 5th. Can you imagine if Virginia Tech has maybe one or two losses at that point, they're ranked. Lane Stadium would be electric.
Yeah. Rocking.
So I feel for the Hokies in that
regard.
In
December. I mean, you talk about weather.
And cold.
Fans, cold. All these different things. You know, that are helping you potentially to win that game, and you're most likely, you know, rules can change, but I doubt it by then. But you know, you're missing a huge piece of that home field advantage that could really help you win, you know, some games.
I never understood how cold Blacksburg was until I went there for basketball, and Mac, I had no idea that Southern Virginia, now that they're in the mountains, could get this cold. And I walked out of the gym, and my phone said 8 degrees. And
no,
I had no clue that Blacksburg could get that cold. Now, that was probably January, but hey, anything could happen.
And, you know,
in
it's
December.
All like stone and like castle there. So it's a gorgeous campus. It is beautiful, but it just traps all that cold in there, and it is rough.
I was shocked. I did not think that even Virginia would get that cold. But of course, I'm from Texas, so I didn't know anything about cold weather. All right, let's get to our quick speed round here, our four other games we want to break down. I think we'll spend a little more time on FSU at the end. Louisville, Notre Dame, Mac. I tweeted out some things about Notre Dame. That offense is so boring. It's not creative. It's not explosive. Talk me off the ledge with Notre Dame, because to score 12 points, they won. A win is a win, but I'm not feeling good about the Irish.
I don't know if I'm the guy to talk you off the ledge. You know, I need to see so much more from these guys, and it's just, you talk about potential, you talk about getting better. I think this is who they are. And that's not bad. You know, you're number four in the country, probably going to be, you know, number three at some point when these rankings come out. And you just look at Ian Book's a game manager, very effective with his legs, gives you enough to win a game. But again, similar to Virginia Tech, when you run into a defense that can stone you running the ball, what are you going to do? Because you have proven through four games that you cannot pass it. You've proven that that's not who you are effectively. You have no production on the outside. I think two touchdowns to a wide receiver, not two passing touchdowns, just to a wide receiver in four games. That's not good. I mean, you have to be able to be diverse. You have to be able to just do different things that you haven't shown that you can do. Great running the ball. You have a fantastic running back in Kyren Williams, who I think is going to be a very special player and has shown that he can do a bunch of things for you. You have a great offensive line that moves people out of the way right now and really does their job at a high level. And then you have a defense that is very elite. But it's just it's taken me back to like the old Big Ten,
yes,
old SEC days where it's like that doesn't win championships
anymore.
Notre
Dame.
Right, right. It just doesn't. It doesn't win championships anymore. So it's going to be interesting to see. Again, you've won. You found ways to win. You've blown some people out. But just what I'm seeing, it's just very vanilla. Very just line up and play. Which again, maybe that's just who you are, and that's fine because you're 4-0.
Can Pittsburgh present some sort of challenge for them defensively if they stack the box, stop the run next week?
That's what I think we're going to see happen. Now, Pittsburgh has shown some big-time vulnerability in the middle of the field, which is interesting because I think they have two of the best safeties in the country. But just passing, when they go into that zone, it's just like people are getting exposed, and it's very strange. So, you know, does Notre Dame have the ammo? Do they have the weapons to attack that? You know, sure, but have they done it? No. So it's going to be interesting to see because I do not think – you're going to be able to run on them, you know, evidenced by what we have seen every time Pitt plays. I mean, they shut down the run. So it'll be very interesting to see this weekend's matchup between Notre Dame and Pitt.
I'm intrigued. I hope Kenny Pickett gets that new ankle, Mac.
Right. See what happens. that'll be a big, big thing about this game, similar to Miami. You know, if he's playing, obviously you feel pretty good about Pitt. If not, defense has got to create turnovers, got to put you in good field position, which they did. It just wasn't enough to win the game.
Duke and NC State. NC State ends up winning this game. Mac, I was so crushed for Devin Leary to see that injury. Look, it's a good one for NC State. You're 4-1, which many people didn't think. Some people maybe on the huddle didn't think NC State could do
hey,
that.
We apologized.
Beat Duke 31-20. Tell me first about that. It's on your Twitter if people want to go find it, at Eric Macklin. You guys had to apologize to NC State. But look, I like this win. I'm worried, though, without – and I don't know how long Devin Leary is going to be out. We'll probably get more information soon. He was in a walking boot. He came back out to the sideline, yeah, which is a very good, very good sign. What do you make of this NC State situation right now?
Yeah, you know, I was feeling really good about them. And then, of course, that happened. So it takes me back a couple of steps. You know, I think he was really performing at a high level. But Bailey Hockman came in and did well and you know, has shown that, you know, he can win – a football game so far this year, and you know, he can be the guy. So it'll be interesting. Can the team rally around him? But talking about that apology, it was so funny. You know, we don't know. I mean, especially when we can't go to spring practices because there are none. We can't go to summer because there isn't any. We can't see your team, so we don't know what your team has. So I'm just going based off last year and seeing the quarterback play from last year that was coming back, and I just – we didn't feel good about it. No one on the huddle felt good about it. And so we made a silly comparison that really just rubbed NC State fans the wrong way, which, you know, y'all are
kind of sensitive.
Some
screenshots, of
y'all
course.
Y'all are a little sensitive anyway, and you know who you are. So I just felt like we needed to, you know, say sorry. We needed to apologize for that because you're 4-1. You have the third best ACC record in the league. So you're in third, sole possession of third place right now, and just really – you know, blowing expectations away. So I think we should be feeling good about NC State. Defensively, it's been such a question mark all year because you see the stats and you're like, man, this is a horrible defense. You watch the game and you're like, this defense isn't so bad. And so it's like, it's so confusing. And you look at the players and it's like great players. I mean, a linebacking core that is stacked. You got big Aleem McNeil up front, defensive tackle, one of the best in the conference, maybe even the country. He's just a physical
also
presence.
Also a threat to score.
What's that?
Also a threat to score on any given night.
Exactly. A big time threat to pick six. I mean, 300 plus pounds and he can take it to the house. So it's just, it's interesting what NC State is. And I don't quite know what you are, but I know you're resilient and I know you find ways to win football games. And it's just, you're playing like a team. So I think you've got to be impressed with what they're showing right now.
The resiliency is a really good piece. And so, you know, can they tap into that with however long Devin Leary is out? We'll see. I think that's a big question. Mac, what inspired you on the huddle to get out of your chair and go right up to the camera where, like, I could see up your nose and say, NC State fans, look at me, look at me.
So I don't know if you saw the Saturday Night Live skit a couple of weeks ago where Jim Carrey was acting as where Jim Carrey was acting as the president, and he said, America, look at me. Look into my eyes. And so I just thought that was your inspiration. Yeah, that was my inspiration. Jim Carrey, you know, just to be like him and to embrace his silliness. And I thought it really hit home.
Who doesn't want to be like Jim Carrey? Yeah, it's a good, exactly. Good role model there, Mac. All right. Your Deeks, Wake Forest. Ooh. Beats Virginia 40-23. Wake now with two ACC wins. And kind of similar to Virginia Tech in that they ran all over Virginia. Now, Virginia still doesn't have Brennan Armstrong. And I felt like Lindell Stone came back to earth a little bit and Wake Forest was prepared for him. But overall, a really impressive performance from Wake.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. Their offense, I mean, that was the biggest thing talking to their coaching staff was we need guys to step up out at wide receiver. I mean, we are totally depleted, you know, a year ago, losing so much talent. And then, of course, we all know, you know, Sage Surratt opting out really, really hurt them. But, man, those guys look great. They stepped up big time. Roberson, Green, Morin, A.T. Perry. I mean, all four of those guys really stepped up to have really big games. And, I mean, Sam Hartman, my goodness, 300-plus yards, a touchdown. I mean, willing his team to win. Very, very impressed with what we saw from him. And then it's all about my running back, my man, Kenneth Walker III. I mean, just going crazy. I mean, he is such an electric player. It's been so fun to watch him. And a guy that was not highly recruited coming out of high school, didn't have a bunch of stars, but they just – Wake Forest saw him and saw what he could be and saw how special he was. And he is just making the most out of this moment and had his multiple three-touchdown game. I mean, he is a baller. And so it was also really good to see the defense step up. I mean, you talk about – pretty much shutting, you know, Virginia out in the second half, you know, a group that has a lot of pride, but also has a lot of injury. And so they're just dealing with a bunch of guys out, a bunch of young guys in position. And, you know, they really stepped up to the task.
They really did. Virginia has fallen far after a game where they pushed Clemson, probably looked better against Clemson than any team has this year, but then Brennan Armstrong gets hurt. And now they're really struggling. It all starts with getting Armstrong back, right, Mac?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he is a guy that, you know, just is your entire offense. You cannot do anything like you want to do with Stone at quarterback. We saw that by how many quarterbacks they rotated, you know, in to play at the position to do that wildcat they kept calling it, which, you know, I get it. It's you're not going to throw out of it because you feel like those guys are better runners, but it just limits you so much in what you can do. And again, now that you have tape on this guy, you know, Stone came in and threw three touchdowns and looked fantastic. But again, once you know who he is, what he can do, you get that tape on him. And, you know, he just had two picks, which both, I believe, were in the second half. So great to see that Wake defense again, just standing up.
Okay, let's get to the game that FSU fans have been waiting for years at this point, Mac. And we teased it out at the beginning of the pod, but FSU defeats number 5, North Carolina, 31-28. UNC with a frantic comeback was down 31-7, came back. UNC, oh God, with a serious case of the drops on that final drive. That was just brutal to watch if you're a UNC fan. But let's start with Florida State. Jordan Travis, look, this guy, we talk about Kenny Pickett tough as nails. I'm going to put Jordan Travis in that category as well. Not sure the extent of his injury. He kind of had to stop throwing the ball at the end of the game because he was so hurt. But what did you like from FSU, Mac?
Yeah, I thought that, number one, they looked like a completely different team than they have all year, a team that I expected really to see. you know, when we're doing all these preseason shows, preseason predictions, a defense that for a half really stepped up and played unbelievably well. Defensive line created all kinds of havoc. I mean, those guys were third worst in FBS coming into this game and getting pressure. You know, they looked tremendous. I think they had four sacks. So, you know, just getting after the quarterback, making a difference on defense was huge. And we hadn't seen that from Florida State all year. The offensive line looked like the Dallas Cowboys. They were moving people. I was like, who is this team? Where have you
what
been for the last
going
4 years?
On?
What's happening? And so, I mean, they played tremendous, you know, for two quarters of football and then, you know, got by for the second half, you know, scoring 31 points on a half, marching up and down the field. I mean, they looked unstoppable. So you've got to hope that you can build some confidence off of this, that you can feel really good about who you are. Again, having a mobile quarterback that is hard to bring down, hard to wrap up, hard to get after him. He can just extend plays and just really make a defense, you know, struggle. So he can make a huge difference out there. And I think that's what we're seeing. Again, weird struggles that we saw from UNC. You know, the pick six was wild. That's really a blind throw, and maybe you're not expecting a 6'7" defensive end to be, you know, going to the flats and hit him right in the chest. And then the punt, I mean, special teams killed you. Special teams the reason you lost this game.
For sure.
You've got a block punt that, you know, puts them in very easy scoring position. And then you missed a field goal that, you know, would have tied it up 31-31, you know, eventually. So it was just an interesting case. And then, of course, Kelly, you mentioned it, the drops to win the game. Pretty much that last drive was a little bit uncharacteristic, but, you know, maybe it just – maybe this will help them. It's going to be interesting to see how this game affects both of these teams. You know, is it going to help propel Florida State? Is it going to help refocus? You know, maybe guys reading right. press clippings. You know, I don't know. I don't think that that's really what happened. I just think it was Florida State's night. You know, it's hard for me to imagine a team led by such a great coach who has seen it all, done it all, let any type of complacency creep into his program. So I don't think that was the case. But maybe it was, and maybe that refocuses them. And, you know, we see a UNC team that we haven't seen before, you know, come out and is motivated and plays really well defensively. Those guys have to step up. And, again, they did in the second half. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what this does to each team.
Here's what I saw with the issue with UNC's offense. And tell me if I'm right or wrong here, Mac. I felt like, first of all, they couldn't get the deep ball going initially, which was really bad. But I felt like the intermediate game for UNC was non-existent. It was either, okay, we're going to run the ball, have a screen pass, whatever, we're going to get 4 or 5 yards, or we're going to connect on a deep ball, and that's how we scored all of our touchdowns. And I felt like they couldn't sustain drives, especially early, because there were no 8-yard gains, or 10-yard gains, or 12-yard gains. Did you notice that?
I did, actually, and I just pulled up their, you know, their little drive sheet, stat sheet. You've got 38 yards, 21 yards, 40 yards, 30 yards, 20 yards, 25 yards, 30 yards, and then it's drop, 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 miss, pass, and so you're absolutely right. There's nothing in the middle. So you're just relying upon these absolute bombs or dinks and dumps, you know, that are little swing passes or little screen passes, and you know there was nothing in between. And so we talk about balance. Yes, there's balance in running and passing, but there's also balance in the way that you attack. You can't just rely upon the home run every single time. I mean, you see what happens, and so. It was very interesting to see, you know, I don't know if we question what's wrong with the offense. I think maybe that's just they felt their backs were up against the wall and they had to attack. And that's what they do really well, as evident, you know, by the yardage and the completions that we saw. So, like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see the response really from both teams. So
it really will be. Well, this was such a fun weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed. I sat on my couch all day yesterday, Mac. I know you worked. I worked early in the morning, did a little radio show. But
you worked really early.
Yeah, it was early. But I got to sit there. I got a nice nap. I got to be honest, Notre Dame in the second half put me to sleep. But I woke up, and I was ready for the night games. And it was just fun. It was a lot of fun. So I can't wait for next weekend. And we enjoyed that you guys hung out with us for this recap. We've got a big episode coming up Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. And more craziness coming next weekend, I'm sure.
More craziness. Can't wait. We've had just such great weekends. You know, three really in a row, three big weekends. But, hey, until next time, we'll see y'all.